Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message.
The title of my message is, What Do You Need From God? What do you need from God? A while back, my mom asked me, she's like, Larry, what are you praying for? What are you praying for? So I thought about it. I'm like, well, you know, I pray for my family. You know, I pray for friends. I pray, you know, I pray for this and that. She said, no, what are you praying for? What do you need personally? And I thought about it again. I'm like, I never thought about it like that. Like, she's like, Larry, you know, she said, it's okay for you to pray for what you want. It's okay for you to pray for what you need. That's not being selfish. That's being a child of God. And so I never thought about it. So I, you know, I guess I at that time, I was not thinking that, you know, I was thinking that it was a little selfish to, you know, just pray for me. So it's okay. You're a child of God. And if you look in Mark 10, 51 and 52, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? I'll read that again. Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher or great one, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So in this verse, Jesus encountered Bartimaeus, which was a blind man. He was a blind man. And as Jesus was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, he asked Bartimaeus directly, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking us, what do we need from him? The text doesn't say he asked. He said, oh, master, oh, savior, give me my sight. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do? See, Jesus was highlighting his personal attention and care for our individual needs. He wants to take care of our needs. But this is what Barnabas did. He responded with faith and clarity, saying, Rabbi, I want to see. Barnabas, he was expressing his physical need and his trust in Jesus as a healer. And got a question for you. If Jesus asked a blind man a question, what do you want me to do for you? Now, let me ask you the same. If Jesus was to walk in here, look you in your eye and say, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? What would you say? Some of us would panic. Some of us wouldn't know what to say. I think that'd be me. And then, some of us, we would be so holy. Jesus, I want to be holy as you are. You know, we get that churchy answer. You know. But deep down, you know, if we think about it, you know, we know what we need. And this is the problem. The problem is God isn't willing. The problem is many people never have a clarity or idea of what they need. So you were like I was. Oh, I pray for everybody. I pray for this and I pray for that, but I don't pray for what I need from you. I haven't thought about what I need. Now, what I want to do is get into some real people needs, okay? Real people needs. Some of us, you know, we need clarity. We need clarity on some situations. And if you go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. God gives us clarity. This verse, it emphasizes the importance of trusting God rather than our own personal wisdom. Okay? God wants to offer us guidance and peace in our decision making. Okay? Some of us, we're not struggling because we're doing wrong. We're struggling because we don't know which step to take next. We're not doing anything wrong. We just, what do I do next? Should I take this job? Is this where I'm supposed to be? It's like driving in the road and there's a fork in the road, but there's no signs, no Siri, no Google Maps. You're just, which way do I go? Okay, that's where clarity becomes necessary. And in a situation like this, we don't need more options, okay? We need God's direction, okay? A young man once had two job offers, both good, you know, both promising, but he took the one that had the most money. Now, the most money, he ended up being miserable. And later he thought, I didn't consult God on this one. And so he ended up miserable. You know, he ended up miserable. I remember when I had a job. Oh, my goodness. I had a job. I was a debt collector for Chrysler Financial. And this was the time where the depression and people were losing houses. So here I am calling these people about being behind on their car notes. Oh, it was miserable. I used to sit in my car before. I'd get to work a little early so I can sit in my car and just pray for peace and Lord God, get me through. And the money was good. The money was good, but the job was, oh, I couldn't. I've been there. I just did not like that job. So we don't need new opportunities. We need God to order our steps. Another need some people may have, some people may need healing from a bad relationship, bad situation they've been in, and you need healing. In Psalms 147:3, it says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In this verse, God emphasizes the compassion and care for those who are suffering. He offers healing and comfort to those in distress. It portrays God as a healer who actively addresses the emotional and spiritual pain of individuals. See, God cares about us so much. He wants to deal with our emotional pain and our emotional distress. Okay, if you've been hurt by people you've trusted, maybe by a situation you didn't deserve to be hurt in, but by things that you may have never even talked about. So what do? We learn how to function with those pains. We drag them around. We learn how to function, and we never treat it. We never treat that pain, or we never get healed from that pain. And God wants to heal us from that. He wants to heal us from that. The verse said he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. That's our God he's talking about. If you break a bone or something, it may heal, but it may not function properly. when I played arena football, I broke my pinky finger and went to the doctor. The doctor was like, well, we're going to have to do surgery. I said, surgery? It was a broken finger. Why did I got to do surgery? Well, I broke it, instead of breaking it straight across, I broke it as a spiral fracture. It twisted. So the doctor said, either we do surgery or you can walk around with your pinky finger out to the side like this. So it would have healed properly, but I'm like, well, nobody's going to pick me up with a pinky finger out to the side. No, I don't think they got, I play wide receiver, so I'm like, nobody's going to hire me with a pinky finger out to the side like that. So it healed, but it's not going to function properly. The same thing when we're hurt. We may walk around like everything's okay, we're looking good on the outside, but inside we're not functioning properly. And I use the illustration, I may have used this illustration before, but I talk about my brother all the time, my younger brother. Our dad never was really active in our lives and a part of our lives and things like that. And he carried that around with him. I think he's gotten better now, but he carried that around with him. Even through his adult age, he would always gripe about what dad didn't do and this and that. We were still cordial and everything, but he still just carried that resentment around that he wasn't really a part of our lives. He never really showed us anything. And I think that hurt his potential. That hurt his potential of what God wanted him to do and wanted him to be, because he carried that hurt around. He carried those wounds. He never really healed from that. He never really forgave for that. So I really believe like that really hurt his full potential. He never reached it because he was still carrying around that hurt. And God wants to heal us from those hurts so we can fulfill our potential that he has designed for us. See, the Bible said he binds our wounds. He wants to wrap those wounds up. It's like if you get a cut, he wants to put a bandage on it. He wants to put a Band-Aid on it so it can heal properly. He doesn't ignore our feelings. God doesn't ignore our feelings. He doesn't rush them. You know, God knows time heals. He knows time heals. He's not going to rush them or put them to the side. He wants to heal them properly so we can function like he has designed us to function. And see, when you're hurt, you don't need to jump in another relationship. You need to get healed first. You need healing first from God. Another need some people may have is provision. Okay? We need God to provide for us. And in Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, the Apostle Paul is assuring the believers that God will provide all our needs through his abundant resource in Christ Jesus. It also emphasizes God's sufficiency and glory in meeting every requirement of his people. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to meet our needs. All right, let's bring this to real life. Right now, groceries are high. Gas is high. You know, electric bill and things is going up. I find myself going to the grocery store getting less items but paying more. I'm like, I got 3 items in my Walmart sack, but man, they charged me $50. What did I get? we need provision. And we already read the word that said God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And some people are stressing right now. Anybody ever been down to your last?
Yeah.
I know the old song, these last $2. I'm not going to lose. No. And And you've been down to your last and you didn't know how it was going to work out. I've been there. I've been there. My first coaching job, I didn't have my teacher certification, so I got hired as a teacher's aide, and then I had a coaching stipend. So you put all that together, I was probably making about $19,000 a year. So I was single then. I was single then, but $19 a year wasn't even enough for a single man. I mean, $19,000 a year was not even enough for a single man at that time. So yes, I've been down to my last $2. But God always provided. Even though I felt like I wasn't making enough, I still tithe, and I never went hungry, never missed a meal, never was late on a bill. God provided, because he wants to. When he sees your faithfulness, he will provide. Now, a child never loses sleep over a bill. You know why? Because they trust that their parent will handle it. I'm going to say that again because some of us missed it. A child never loses sleep over a bill because they trust that their parent will handle it. Are we not the children of God? Are we not the children of God? Our parent is God, right? Can we trust that he's going to handle it? Don't lose no sleep. See, worry happens when we forget who our provider is. Uh-oh. I'm stepping on my toes too, Lord. Golly. Worry happens when we forget who our provider is. I've shared this testimony before too. Noah hadn't been born yet. We was having Noah, and we were living in an apartment, 2-bedroom apartment. Larry was probably 10, 11. And we were having Noah, so we was like, man, we got a 2-bedroom apartment where the family is extending. We need a house. We need a house. So we was praying for a house. This was in the summer, July. Our lease was up at the end of July. July to the last day of July, our lease was up. And we had been searching for a house. So we got with this realtor and we was running our credit, seeing if we were going to qualify. I'm not going to say any names, but somebody's credit was a little short. It was mine. I'm going to admit it. I'm not going to lie in church, but my credit was a little short. One of the bureaus was short, but the other two were good, but the creditors, they had to use all three of them. So the realtor, he's trying to make it work, and he's like, Mr. Nixon, man, we thought we was going to get you approved, but it's just one credit score that's hurting us right now, and I don't know what else to do. He's like, well, it was the weekend, so they were about to close. So he's like, I tell you what, man, I'm just going to go have a beer. I said, all right, you do that. I'm going to go pray, you know. So we hung up, and Monday he called, and this was like 3 days until we had to renew the lease or get out. And so I'm worrying. After I hung up, I said I was going to pray, but I laid across the bed, and I'm like, God, something got to happen, you know? And I felt... And I'm telling you, just plain as day, I felt the Holy Spirit. I had felt God laughing at me, like laughing. And I'm laying across the bed and I hear this. And I said, God, you laughing at me? He said, yeah, I told you, I got you. He said, I told you, I got you. And just like that, I told you, I got you. You know, and I was like, and I just felt peace after then. So the weekend goes, Monday comes. The guy calls me. Larry, talk to my boss and I got an idea. How about you close out or you block that one credit bureau that's low and we can use the other two. Man, did that. We got approved. And I'm telling you, to the T, probably a day or two before we had to be out of that apartment, we signed on our house and moved in. So God is our provider. He is our provider. The provision doesn't always come early, but it's on time. It's always on time. Always on time. So we don't have to go out and hustle and get more jobs. We just need to trust God's provision. We need to trust that God is going to provide for us. Another need we may need is freedom. Freedom. Okay. John 8:36 says, so if the Son, S-O-N, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Okay. This emphasizes the true freedom that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. He liberates those who trust in him. It also highlights the transformative power of faith and the permanent nature of freedom he offers. See, this verse discusses the contrast between being a slave to sin and being a child of God. Okay, it reinforces the idea that belief in Jesus grants us lasting freedom from sin. Some people, you know, they love God, but they're stuck. They're stuck. Maybe some habits, maybe a cycle, or the same struggles. We're kind of stuck there. You know, it's like being released from prison, but you still have the mentality that you're in prison. You're still walking around with your shank. You're still watching your back, you know, but you're free. You know, you don't have to do those things anymore. God didn't just save us to forgive us. He saved you. He saved us to be free. He freed us. So if you're struggling, that is a great, John 8:36 is a great verse to just meditate on. Meditate on. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Not you might be, you will be free indeed. Another need we may have is faith. We may have a faith need, more faith. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We can't please God unless we have faith. This verse emphasizes that faith is essential for pleasing God, highlighting the necessity of believing in his existence and his willingness to reward those who diligently seek him. See, God's word doesn't lie. If we do this, it's promise and premise. If we do this, God promises that. So if we seek him diligently, he will reward those. His word says it. Some people, we're not blocked by God. We're blocked by our own doubt and unbelief. That's what blocks us, our doubt and unbelief. What if it doesn't happen? What if I fail? What if God doesn't come through? That's what blocks us, the what ifs. And I tell, you know, in sports, my kids, well, what if? I'm like, what if? What if is a made-up story that hasn't happened? That's a story that you just made up. What if? That's fear. That's all fear is a story that we make up that hasn't happened. See, Peter walked on water as long as he kept his eyes, his faith, and his trust on Jesus. Okay? But as soon as he got them off Jesus, he began to sink. See, Peter walked on water. Water doesn't hold people up. Jesus did. Jesus does. Jesus holds us up. You know, faith, no, it doesn't make sense. But what faith does, it makes miracles. It makes things happen. Faith moves the hand of God. You can go back to Barnabas. Jesus, I want to see. Jesus told him, go on. Didn't pray. Didn't say Jesus prayed up for him. Didn't say Jesus laid hands on him. It told him to go ahead on. Your faith made you healed. And he saw right then. So we don't need more proof. We have plenty of proof. This word is our proof. We need more faith. We just got to ask God. And Jesus is asking us, what do you want me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus, he didn't hesitate. He didn't overthink. He knew exactly what he needed Jesus to do for him. He didn't say, whatever you want, Jesus. He said, Lord, I want to see. When we need something from God, we need to be specific, we need to be bold, and we need to be honest. God knows our heart. You say, well, God knows our hearts. Why don't he just... God wants you to confess it to him. He wants to know. Yes, he knows our hearts, but he wants to hear it with our mouth, confess it with our mouth. So as we close, I'm going to ask you, just close your eyes and ask yourself, what do I really need from God? Just close your eyes, ask yourself, what do I really need from God? And as you're thinking, imagine sitting at a table full of food and leaving hungry because you didn't reach out for anything. You can't receive what you won't request.
Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.